Problem.
Uh-oh. This doesn't surprise me. This entire service has been fraught with minor inconveniences. I won't call them crises because in light of what has happened to each one of us, this is not a crisis. But nothing has gone smoothly. Do you want me to just keep talking, or what do you want me to do, my love?
Okay.
Are we good?
Recording in progress.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. Looks like Peter's got the technology corrected. And we are going to try to record this service so that it will be available to anybody who wants to listen to it afterwards or anyone who has missed it tonight. So, okay. So, as I was saying, there are a lot of people that it takes to make this service come together. First of all, I want to thank the staff at Olivet Baptist Church for allowing us to use this beautiful room. I would like to thank the directors who have all been so helpful to us. And I also want to give a big thank you to our audiovisual person, Rob Morrison, thank you, Rob, for again giving up your Sunday evening with your family to be here for us. It is greatly appreciated. So, having given all that, I will definitely start now. So I wonder how many of you noticed when you walked into the room a little tiny inconspicuous sign beside the door that simply declared sanctuary. After being at the church for many years, I thought about it one day and I looked up the meaning of the word sanctuary. There were several meanings listed, but the one that struck me the most was one that said, a place of safety and healing. Tonight, you are in a safe place. Take a deep breath. Leave everything at the door except the thoughts and memories, as few as they were, of the children you have come here to pay tribute to. This is a safe place, and we hope that what you are about to experience will be beneficial to everyone. We are so glad you are here, but we are so sorry that you are here, because the fact that we are sitting here together in this room means that there has been at least one loss of a much-wanted, precious child. Regardless of when that loss occurred or how old the child was, losing a child is one of life's most devastating experiences. Not only is the physical child gone, but also all the hopes, dreams, and plans you had already created or shared with that child since you knew of their existence. And at Empty Cradle, we truly understand the unique type of grief that goes along with these losses. And tonight, we are here to acknowledge the pain, but also hope for the future and the journey towards healing, which you have all taken another giant step forward in. I'm going to ask Tabitha if she would come forward and light the white candle of community for me. We gather tonight to meet as a community. As in any community, this community consists of many different types of people. It consists of many demographics and designations. This is the part in the service that we would like to share specifically with the children in our community. So I'm going to ask if there are any children here who would like to come forward. Could you sit on the front step facing Miss Tabitha? She has a special story for you. And parents, you are welcome to eavesdrop on the story. And then when the story is over, don't run right back to your seats yet, because Miss Tabitha has some crayons and coloring sheets for you to take back to your seats with you. And if there's anybody who's really shy, who doesn't want to come up, that's okay too. Or if you want to drag mommy and daddy along, that's okay too. We're real flexible.
All right. This story is called No New Baby, and it's by Marilyn Gretel. My mommy was going to have a baby. Now she's not. The doctor. Something was wrong. Daddy took her to the hospital. When he came home, he said, "Our baby had died." Daddy looked very sad. Daddy said, "Our baby was born before it was ready to live." He said it was too tiny to stay alive. He said Mommy had to stay all night at the hospital. I was scared. Daddy read to me and tucked me into bed. I hugged Penguin tight and looked at my nightlight. "I wish Mommy was here," I said. "I wish everything was okay." "Me too," Daddy said. Then he kissed my forehead. When mommy came home, she hugged me and cried. The baby wasn't in her tummy anymore. Daddy looked like he had been crying too. I was sad. When the baby was inside mommy, I patted her tummy. I could feel the baby kick. One time, I patted really hard. Ouch, be careful, mommy said. Then she hugged me and laughed. I had helped get baby's room ready too. Come on, big sister, daddy had yelled. Let's get the baby crib. He carried me piggyback all the way to the garage. Together we carried in the crib and washed it. Mommy got out my Winnie the Pooh's sheets and my teddy bear blanket. How come baby gets my playroom for a bedroom, I had asked. I liked it better just the way it was. I didn't like everybody changing things around just because of a baby. Sometimes I didn't want a baby at all. One day, I put Penguin in the crib for baby. In a little while, I took it back. I put in my striped kitty instead. I wanted to keep Penguin. I didn't think a baby could tell the difference anyway. One time, I helped mommy fold my old sleepers and undershirts. I put them in the top drawer all by myself. You wore this dress sleeper 2 days after you were born, mommy said. I held it up. My hand was as long as the whole sleeve. It was fun helping get ready for the baby. Now there won't be any new baby. It's not fair. It's like saying there's going to be a birthday party with balloons and ice cream, and then there isn't one after all. It's like waiting for your friend to come and play, and she doesn't show up. Grandma came over this morning. Let's go to the park and swing, she said. I love going to the park with Grandma. She tells me stories. She knows things, like why there's water in clouds and how butterflies fly. On the way to the park, Grandma stopped. Look at this beautiful bush, she said. The bush was all full of flowers. The last time we were here, these were just tiny buds, Grandma said. Now they're open, newborn blossoms. I stood on my tippy toes to see better. Grandma, why did our baby die? I asked. Why was baby born too soon? Did I do it when I patted too hard? Sometimes I didn't want a new baby. Grandma gave me a big, soft hug. No, she said. The baby didn't die because you patted hard. Nothing you said or did or thought could ever make baby die. It's nobody's fault. It just happened. I don't know why. It wasn't like Grandma not to know. Grandma took hold of my hand. She leaned over and picked something up off the ground. See this little bud, she asked. It was supposed to keep growing and turn into a flower. But it didn't. And no one knows why. Most little buds become flowers. But some don't. This one died. It will never be a flower now. I held the bud in my hand. Just like our baby, I told Grandma. I felt sad inside. Grandma swung me for a very long time. I pumped so high I could see almost to China and clear past Jason's house. Before we went home, Grandma hugged me again. We're sad because our baby died, she said. And it's okay to be sad. We're still a family and we love each other. When we got home, I walked over to Jason's. He's learning to ride a two-wheeler, and he likes me to watch. I'm learning to skate, and sometimes I like him to watch. Jason wants to own a candy store when he grows up. I want to grow up and be a doctor. But right now, I just want to be a big sister. Maybe someday. I hope so.
Just while the children are getting their crayons and getting back to their seats, thank you, parents, for being such a good audience. Thank you, everyone, for being such a good audience. So, children, you know, your parents were really good at listening to the story. So let's see if we can be just as good doing your coloring so that they can listen to their story. Tabitha, thank you. That was wonderful. No New Baby was one of our eldest daughter Nicole's favorite books. She was 6 and a half when we lost Angel, and she had us read her that book a lot. Even though that happened, even so, listening to Tabitha read it again tonight after many years of not really having it around and not really reading through it brought mist to my eyes as well. As in the song that was playing just before I started to speak, Light as a Feather, some of you may have noticed the line, "He was looking for you and looking at me. He was looking for you, no heartbeat." I'm sure that the mom in the story and the dad heard that.
Recording in progress.
I'm sure that some of you in this room have also heard those words, those terrible words. "I'm sorry, your baby has died. There is no heartbeat." For some, there have been other reasons, or perhaps your loss was so early that there may not even have been a heartbeat to see yet. Like a snowflake, each one, each precious baby, is unique and different. Each parent sitting here has a unique story. But all have ended the same way. Whether your child was a tiny rosebud or a blossomed flower, whether your child was in utero and just a few weeks along, or perhaps even an older child or an adult, the outcome is the same. They are not here for us and with us. And that hurts. We are very, very sad about that. As I said at the beginning, this service has been fraught with a few interesting moments. And one of those interesting moments came... Oh, actually, hang on. Let me backtrack, because I almost forgot to do something very important. We're going to listen to a song now called "Gone Too Soon" by Daughtry. And we discovered this song 7 years ago at our first service that we did. And it was, apparently, it impressed a lot of people because this isn't his style of music. But we hope you enjoy listening to this. "Gone Too Soon."
Instead, I just sit here and cry. Oh. Have you ever been to a child's funeral?
March 8th of this year, I had the unfortunate opportunity of experiencing one of the most heartbreaking, physically demanding, and inspiring trials a woman could ever go through. I gave birth to my firstborn baby boy named Walter Thomas Butterworth. He was perfect in every way. He had lots of hair and this cute button nose and the smallest hands and feet that make you want to kiss them over and over again. Unlike other birth stories, however, Walter had trisomy 18, or Edwards syndrome, a chromosomal disorder that causes many ailments because of an extra copy of chromosome 18. Because of his condition, he had a congenital diaphragmatic hernia that pushed his tiny heart so far to the right that it stopped beating in utero. At week 17, my husband and I knew from doctor's visits and ultrasounds that Walter's life was going to be short. All we wanted to do was share a small fragment of life with him. An hour, 15 minutes, just 1 minute. And unfortunately, we did not. At 36 weeks, another doctor's visit and another ultrasound. And the worst sentence, there's no heartbeat. 15 hours of labor later, his silence when he was born was piercing. My husband sank to his knees next to my hospital room bed as we cried together, as I held my lifeless little Walter. Through my longing and depression, I asked myself, why is it that other women and men are not talking about similar losses? Are they scared? Why am I scared? And how can I turn this emptiness into something meaningful? Days after the memorial service were a blur, my husband and I were fortunate enough to have a service prearranged for Walter and a grave plot set aside so that he could sweetly rest next to his great-grandma Sue. I felt so empty inside, physically and emotionally. My capacity for happiness, joy, hope, or even rest was shot. I'd spend most of my day lying in bed with my eyes closed, trying not to think about the loss that had just occurred. And when I was up and awake, all I yearned for was this warm little boy to cuddle and hold to fill the void that I felt inside. I would spend lots of time in the tub, in a warm soak, or in a long shower, trying to relieve some of the anxiety that I was feeling. In my long showers, I was able to formulate empty. A series of portraits of people who have experienced child loss. Empty has enabled me to be more empathetic and to be more authentic with myself. It has created a platform for women and men to share their stories and experiences and has opened up a new perspective on what child loss looks like. Because there's a stigma related to child loss, our culture has turned a blind eye to this life trial many of our loved ones face. My hope is that we can learn more about this so that we can learn to heal and learn how to help others heal by learning more about it. I knew from the start that I wanted to get submissions of stories of people who had experienced child loss. But I couldn't just sit with a story. As a photographer, I naturally wanted to take images of what this pain looks and feels like. Yet I couldn't stop there. Before this experience, before Walter, I too was guilty of not talking about child loss when the topic surfaced. I felt like I wasn't qualified to talk about it because I had never experienced it. And if I had never experienced it, how could I face it? This is the face of grief. This is the face of anger. This is the face of wonder and questioning faith. This is the face of longing. This is the face of someone missing a piece of themselves.
Let's take a moment here to stare at the face of child loss. This is one that has become all too familiar to me. Not because I stare at it in the mirror every day, but because I have sat down with all these women and men and have talked with them, shared their sadness, shared their longing, and shared their grief. Now, replace the face of child loss with someone you love. This could be your wife, your girlfriend, your best friend, your sister, your coworker, someone from your church congregation, anyone that you may love, even yourself. Do you feel that? That pit in your stomach? That feeling right there is one that I want you to remember. Children are not supposed to die before parents do. It's a fact, and we all know this. But is that the only reason why we don't talk about child loss? Or do we not talk about it because the mother was 15 weeks along and she has so much more time to conceive another? Or is it because at 15 weeks that child is still considered a fetus, or scientifically a bunch of cells? Think about that. We are discrediting someone's pain because of discomfort, opinion, or some other cultural personal belief. We are thinking of ourselves. Amy, a participant of MD, wrote this. This time, I was 15 weeks along and I heard the same chilling sentence. I'm sorry, there is no heartbeat. My arms ache every day for the two baby boys that I lost. Each participant of MD is told to do the same thing. They are told to choose a location. This could be their home or a field, a hospital room. It could be their workplace. Anywhere that's significant to your story. And once we're taking the image and we're in that location, I have them pause and I have them reflect on the feelings of the loss and the experience. And I tell them to feel. After a few moments of calm pause, I hand over this mirror. And it's a simple mirror, nothing more than you can pick up at your local Home Goods, but this mirror has weight. And so when I hand over this mirror, I have them feel the weight. I pause a little more. Have them still reflect. And after a few moments, I then ask them to hold the mirror as if they're holding their child once again. And that's when I take the photo. The mirror is a symbolic reflection of myself in my grief. When talking to my participants, I noticed that there was a commonality in all of our stories. We all spoke of this similar sadness and this similar pain and the similar grief. But I also noticed that we all spoke of a piece of ourselves missing. So as you can see in all the photos, I actually edited out a portion of the mirror. And this was to reflect the fact that with grief, with the loss of a child, we truly are missing a piece of ourselves. And so something that was metaphorically felt is now physically seen. When people actively view these images, I want them to feel what the participant is feeling. I invite them to do so.
I want them to understand that this person that's in this image is not just someone that lives in a close proximity to their home because they're in the community. That this person in the image could be someone that they love. It could be someone that's in their home. When someone is dealing with child loss, so often does it feel like time is just going and going and going. Time doesn't stop for someone in grief. So deeply feels that way. And when I talked to my participants, they all agreed that we just want people to realize and acknowledge the fact that we are stuck, that life has stopped, and time has stood still. Losing her baby boy at 38 and a half weeks, Brenda wrote, "As children of friends pass milestones that Joseph will never get to experience, grief still sneaks up, catching me unaware, and it washes over me. Empty has been a harsh reality, the gateway to a harsh reality. It has provided a platform for women and men to share their stories and their experiences. And the stories that they share are raw. Some tell of the story of losing their child and realizing that that child was no longer with them in his past. Others scream of wanting answers from an absent God, while others speak to losing an adoption, knowing that they have empty arms but a full heart. Empty has not only been the gateway to a harsh reality, but it has also been a way for me to heal. It has been a way for me to relate to other parents who've endured this awful circumstance. Taylor, a participant of Empty, she recently shared with me that she's expecting twins. She said that in no way did she realize that by sharing her story, they would help her heal. And in no way did she realize that by sharing her story, that it would actually help her transition into this new life with her new children. How great is that? Empty has created a conversation. What will you do next time someone you love faces child loss? Take a step forward instead of taking a step back. Be a friend and lend a hand. Say nothing and listen. You will learn so much from these strong and courageous individuals who are willing to share their empty. Thank you.
So many emotions in that video. So many things that she said that rang true to me. And hopefully has rung true to some of you as well. We are the ones that need to share our stories. One of the reasons Empty Cradle was created over 30 years ago was to give parents who have endured a loss a chance to share their stories and their children. It was created out of a need from that Patty, you, and Tim, who founded the group, had after the stillbirth of their son. When she sat alone in her home and realized, I need help, and I can't be the only one who has gone through this. She found a room at her church, put an ad in her local paper, and Empty Cradle was born. Since then, hundreds of couples, hundreds of families who have been touched by child loss have had the opportunity to meet together and share their stories. A chance to bring pregnancy loss, infant loss, child loss out of the shadows and talk and not feel so alone. We hope that in sharing this video, you will take a step to share your story with the people in your life. And sometimes that's hard. When we lost our children, Chris in 1993, Vic in 1994, early miscarriages, and Angel in 1995, a stillbirth, I faced the question that every bereaved parent faces at some point. How many children do you have? Everyone will have a unique way of answering that question. And I found it helpful to really think about what I wanted to say because I was raising one child at the time. But I could not deny the existence of the three we had lost. What worked for me, and I only came up with this after our rainbow baby, Jennifer, was born. I have five children. Two, which I have the privilege of raising, and three that wait for me in heaven. Each of you will one day be asked that question if you haven't already. And each of you will have to decide at that moment how you're going to answer it. But for the love of the children that we loved and lost, you owe it to them and to yourselves to acknowledge their existence in a way that feels comfortable to you. And it might be different with every person, it might be different with every situation. Because certainly I don't tell everybody on the street that I've had three losses. But more often than not, I find that when I share, someone will turn to me and say, oh really? I too lost a baby, and I felt so alone. I don't ever want you to feel alone ever again. We're now going to turn to the part in the service where you get to participate. I'm going to ask Tabitha and Nicole to both come forward, and you guys can decide who's going to light the purple candle of memory. While we're doing that, I want you to take the candle that you were given when you came in and take it out of the bag and hold it in your hand. Also in your package, there is a heart. You have the opportunity between now and the end of the service to write a message to your child on this heart. Something you want to say, just their name, whatever you wish. Over in the corner, there's a tree. Please put the hearts on the tree so that each child represented here will be forever acknowledged and loved. Now, fear not. Peter and I will take these home and shred them. Nobody else will see them. So be as intimate as you want with your child. This is your child, a part of you. Before you do that, however, I'm going to ask you to do something else for me. On the table that has not been lit yet. You'll notice it's silver. You may also notice that it's not a total candle. I'm calling this candle the candle of hope because lighting this candle, even though it's not complete, it will still cast its light over the table. What I would like you to do as you are ready is to come forward and light your candle from the hope candle. But as you bring that candle forward, remember, those candles are a symbol of your baby and the pain of the loss. So hold that as you would hold your baby. Ponder, remember, feel those feelings and allow you to feel them. Light your candle from the hope candle and then take one of the votives out of the basket, as many as you have for your children. So in our case, Peter, I'll get you to light three and put them around the mirror. Keep your candle with you. That is your candle to take home. And you're welcome to blow it out or you're welcome to carry it lit over to the tree. Please be careful, though. So, have we lit the hope candle? Light the hope candle. Great. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. So I'll get Rob to play some soft music, and we will invite you, as you feel ready, to bring your candle forward. Did I give you ours? Okay, great. Okay. And light your candle from the hope candle. And as you do so, take the hope that it symbolizes and make it be part of your story. Some days, hope fades. That's why the candle isn't complete. Some days, it's so hard to have hope in the future that your journey towards healing will happen. But let this be another step. There's also a basket next to the tree for you if you want to put your plastic bags in it, or if you want to take them home to keep your candle in, that's okay too. And then there's one final thing. As you finish putting your heart on the tree, you will see some roses, some silk roses on the table. Please take a silk rose for each of your children. We choose silk roses because they last forever. The roses will never die, and you will always have them as a symbol of your child in your home. So as you are ready, come forward, and when everybody has had a chance to pay tribute to their child, we will have some closing remarks, and we will share in the poem on the back of your program. If you, when you come up, you would like to, feel free to pick up the microphone that I am going to put down and tell us a little bit about your child. If you don't want to, that's okay too. This is your time. Please come forward. Thank you. you, everybody, for participating. I hope you found that healing. Our service has just about come to an end, except for enjoying a time to go and have some coffee and some tea, or some juice and some snacks, and to contemplate what has happened here this afternoon. You don't need to be in a rush to leave. If you would like to stay and just look at the candles for a few minutes, you are welcome to do that. When you're ready, please exit quietly so that not to disrupt people who do want to stay behind. Now, first of all, I'd like to thank you for not only for being here and spending this time with us, but also for putting up with my stumbles and the technology that didn't work, the Zoom meeting that we were supposed to have ready for you to view at a later date isn't going to happen because we had a crash. Just because technology is wonderful when it works. Anyway, thank you for putting up with all the little inconveniences. But we hope that you have been blessed and that your hope in the future has been restored. So if you'd like to all stand with us, if you are able, and turn to the back of your program, and Peter is going to direct you in the reading of what is actually the Compassionate Friends Creed, but I borrow it from them every year. We remember them.
In the rising of the sun and in its going down, we remember them. In the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter, we remember them. In the opening of buds and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them. In the blueness of the sky and the warmth of summer, we remember them. In the rustling of leaves and in the beauty of autumn, we remember them. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them. When we are weary and in need of strength, we remember them. When we are lost and sick at heart, we remember them. When we have joys we yearn to share, we remember them. When we have decisions that are difficult to make, we remember them. From the beginning of the year until it ends, we remember them. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them.
Thank you, Peter. That was awesome. So, as you feel ready, please exit, go up the stairs, and you will find the hall, and please enjoy some refreshments. And if you found it to be meaningful, please come and tell me. Thank you for joining us. Good evening.